Sleon Podcast. Today we have a special guest, one of my old college friends back from Liberty University. Is on Sean Langille, and he's currently working at Fox News. Sean, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you, Santiago. It's been a hot minute.
It has. And, well, Sean is doing big stuff. Sean, can you tell the audience, what are you up to these days?
I'm working for another great Liberty University alum, Shannon Bream, in producing Fox News at Night, a brand new show that just kicked off on the Fox News channel this past October. And I am happy to report that in our few months on the air, we are giving Brian Williams a good run for his money over at MSNBC.
Yes, I've heard good stuff about that show at 11. I remember when Fox News did not have 11 o'clock, like a slot, live slot. It was usually a rerun, but the other networks did, and they realized, let's do it too, and you guys are dominated.
But at the same time, too, we're living in an age where we used to not have a lot of news coming out late at night. But now we live in an age, and it's just the nature of this administration where sometimes they like to make news late into the night, and we've been dealing with lots of government shutdowns or the threat thereof, and we're realizing in this day and age and this time of news, if we're going to be 24-hour news, we got to keep it going until midnight.
Did you work with this show during Obama's term?
Well, the show, like I said, it just started in October, but I'd been with Fox News in Obama's term, and there were times where we honestly could tape shows in the age of O'Reilly and the age of some of the other Fox News personalities. They could tape their shows at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and still be relevant at 8 o'clock because not much has changed. But when you have a president that's very tied into social media and takes it right to the American people, there's a lot that can change between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m., and even 8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
It's incredible. Like, I hear it a lot from, like, the news anchors on TV. It's like, yeah, I mean, this president is keeping us on our feet. I mean, he's improving our ratings. He's improving, I mean, he's making us famous again.
I'll give you a little behind the scenes for us. So in our graphics, we have templates for Twitter or when people tweet, but our default Twitter setting is a presidential tweet. So that way, if the president tweets something newsworthy, we can have a graphic and we can have it ready on the air within minutes of him tweeting it.
Incredible. So, Sean, can you tell us your story? Obviously, you know, you've been around for a long time. But tell us your story from when you graduated to Liberty.
I like to not think long time. But, you know, I guess when you're in your 30s, you've seen a few things. But I grew up in small town northern Massachusetts, and I've always kind of been doing the media thing. Started writing for a local city paper when I was about second grade because I was that nerdy kid watching cable access one night when I local editor was on, so I think it would be neat if we had kids in the school systems that could report on their elementary school, so I did that from second to fifth grade. Flash forward, I went to a small Bible school in upstate New York, then from there transferred to Liberty University and quickly got involved with the campus radio station, and then probably in 6 months or so of being there, I think, became a student manager at the station, hosted the morning show, and that was a lot of fun. And I studied actually religion while I was there, but then got my graduate degree in communication and taught some of the audio classroom classes there, the audio production classes. And then in 2012, my master's thesis, surprisingly, was on social media and how Republicans and Democrats interact on Facebook, but more so how candidates could use social media to speak directly to the people. Not sure exactly how that played out.
And, you know, it's funny, we met at the radio station at Liberty University at 90.9 The Light. And when I first met you, I mean, you were a pro already. You had the voice, and of course, I could tell you from your experience because you were telling me you work at a station in Boston, and you were a pro at it, and you had like the right voice. Can you tell us your experience working at the college station?
Sure. Well, like I said, I had started writing at a local newspaper and then also hanging around a local radio station when I was very gave me a lot of experience that normally people would intern when they're in their teenage years or in college. I kind of got that experience very young. So growing up at a local radio station, got to get almost that free communication education. So that's why I didn't really major in communication at the time because I thought, learned a lot of these things. That's why I got a graduate degree in it. It was a lot of fun to work with the campus radio station. It was just a lot of fun to have the freedom to do a morning show, play around in the morning. And I admit I'm not a morning person at all. And I'm still not. I'm glad I work for a show that's at 11 p.m. because it plays to my night owl sensibilities. But it was so much fun to help manage that station, just kind of have the freedom to work with the programming, work with students, and also kind of learn from them too, and also share what I'd learned over the years and build on that educational experience, but just have a lot of fun, good radio, and being entertaining, and work with a lot of entertaining people like yourself.
It was fun. I mean, I think we saw, like, in that station, if you're from Liberty, you know, you would know Nick Pierce, and a lot of great talent came out of there, and now the station is bigger. I've been seeing some pictures. They have, you know, better studio rooms. They have better mics. So the kids now have better stuff. We had good stuff. Don't get us wrong, but it was now it's a little bit, you know, better equipment. Can you tell us how did you get from Lynchburg to DC? What was the connection like? What was the whole story?
I like to say I face planted. It was nothing I actually kind of planned on. But again, it's Liberty people in the right place. So I've been working in Christian radio in Virginia for a while. After Liberty, I did work with Spirit FM. After working with Victory FM. So I kind of worked for most of the Christian radio stations in Lynchburg. And there's a lot of them there. So after graduating with my master's from Liberty, there was a time at Spirit where I just thought, oh, well, it's going to be here forever, but things didn't necessarily work out there. So I was kind of looking for things. And a friend of mine was interning for Laura Ingraham and then later became her producer and said, you know, you just need to come up to DC and you need to work for a network. And I was like, yes, I'm just going to waltz right up to DC, work for a network, and it's all going to be fine. Well, he invited me up to meet with Laura. She had seen my resume, and then I was thinking I was just going to make a stop in DC, and she said, all right, you can start working for me tomorrow. I was like, okay. And that was a very intense experience. She's a very smart but an intense woman and runs a tight ship of a show. And it was a ton of fun, and it was an incredible learning experience to come into DC and just dive right into producing syndicated talk radio. I remember one crazy story where it was when astronaut Neil Armstrong died, and we had been trying to book an astronaut on the show. And then I called up Buzz Aldrin's PR people, and we were going back and forth, and it was the typical non-answers that they give you. And then I call up that morning, and the older gentleman answers the phone, and I say, Mr. Aldrin. I said, yeah, it's Buzz. Let me eat my oatmeal. What can I do for you? I said, would you like to come on the show? And he said, yes. And the rest is history. But it's incredible just the people you get to interact with and the times when guests cancel and all of a sudden you're going through Rolodex and you call up Donald Trump's assistant and they come through for you. So there's all those kind of stories. But it was an intense experience, and that's something I don't think I was totally ready for at the time, but made work. And then after the 2012 election, looked for other opportunities and eventually ended up at Fox News writing for Chris Dierwald and helping him put together his what's now Halftime Report, and then had some opportunities at the Washington, was their digital engagement editor, and did that for about 2.5 years. And then when Shannon got her show, eerily played that Liberty connection. But I also worked with her before on some of the weekend shows, and definitely expressed an interest with that. And they kind of put me on a freelance probation first week of the show, and then offered me a job as a producer on that show. And it's been an incredible experience to kind of build something from the ground up. A lot of people come in and spend shows that have been on there for years and shows that have a proven track record. So for me, it's been fun to work with something from the ground up, to completely do something new, and especially just come out of all the hard opinion to do straight news. And there were apprehensions that how would this work for, it's been so long that you're coming out of hard opinion shows to do hard news, how will it work? And it's worked really well for us. And Shannon, I couldn't say anything more that she's not only just incredible to work with, but just a talent that gets stories, gets different angles, and gets how to cover it fairly. And it works for us. It works really well.
What is your day like at Fox News? What time do you get up? What time do you start producing stories? Things like that.
Well, like I said, I'm a night owl, so we end the show most nights at midnight, but also I'll do some work for Fox News Radio. So depending on the day, if I get my stuff together, get things done early, usually I can put something together for radio before the show or just after the show. So usually once the show ends, I'll go through and see what our guests said and see what's newsworthy, maybe file one or two radio stories, and then I'm out of there by about 12:30. So then I'm home sometimes by 1 a.m., and you know, I just can't go right to sleep. So I have to decompress, watch something funny on Netflix, and just zone out from news, because some days the news is hard. Some days it really just kind of, I don't want to say sucks the life out of you, but sometimes you just need to come home, watch something funny, and just kind of decompress. So I try to get to bed by about 2 or 3, which means that I don't wake up until about 11. So there's sometimes I feel like I miss out because there's a lot of news happening in between there. So then I'll wake up, I'll kind of scroll through some emails, see what I missed, see what's going on for the day, flip on the news, or ask my Alexa for a Fox News Radio flash briefing so I can know what's kind of going on in the world. I kind of ease into my day and then try and get some gym time in, struggle some days, and then read some more, and then kind of see if there's stories that catch my eye and say, oh, we should get this person on, or we should cover this story, or I'm seeing the other networks mention this story, but they're not looking at this angle of it. And there's a lot of back and forth emails throughout the day. And then by about 3 o'clock, get into the office, and then we'll still kind of look through our show rundown for the day, look through what we're covering, look if there's anything new on the way we're covering it, because when we get in at 3, there's a lot that can change between 3 and 11, or look at stories and say, well, maybe this works now, but this could be outdated at 11. And then it's kind of hitting social media. There used to be a time when the networks would have news wires. I think Twitter in many ways is a news wire. So I see what people are talking about. I see what the buzz on social media is, and that can influence the things we kind of cover. Or if there's kind of these fun videos, like this great one the other day of a veteran, I believe it was in South Carolina, that had passed away, and the nursing home he was in did this procession where they played Amazing Grace and Wheeled Him Down. So we look sometimes for those powerful videos, and it's sometimes those little cell phone videos that people take online that can create powerful stories, and it's almost kind of like you have a whole other resource of videos that we'll look through online. Obviously, you can't just take any video that you see on the internet. You got to get those permissions for it, but that process starts at about 3 o'clock. And by 4 o'clock, meeting where we kind of go over everything that we're looking at the day, the guests, or where we all kind of talk together and say, maybe let's guest doesn't work for this, or this person would be better, or we want to lead the show off with this, but we're waiting for this to happen. So if X happens, maybe we need to move things up, and then we hit the ground running after that. We get our assignments. So usually what I'll do after that is we have a pre-produced open that we do. So I'll usually write that up, dig some sound bites, and then look at the segments that I'm assigned. Then we have a research team that I'll work very heavily with. So usually after that, I'm on the phone with our research team and say, hey, here's the things we want to dig deeper in, or could you fact check this, or so-and-so said this, but can you find me instances where they said different, or we have a guest that their point of view is this, we want to find the arguments against this. So it's basically setting up every guest, if they have a certain point of view where we can say, here's something you can respond to, or here's some criticism of this, or have you thought of it this way? And I've always been of the mindset that it's always the tension that makes the best news, that makes the best stories. To hit someone with, well, you're arguing this, but other people say this. And it's just kind of the approach I take when I interview people, too, that it's not just, why are you here? What are you doing? It's the other side says this. How do you respond to that?
That's what I like about Fox News is that, you know, it takes a complete angle from the other networks. And I always say it's three against one, you know?
It is sometimes. And a lot of people can look at Fox and say, oh, it's conservative. I don't necessarily like to consider it conservative. I consider it contrarian in that if everyone else is taking one kind of view, well, we're going to be the one that's going to say, well, what about this? Like if the story is, we're talking about driverless cars, or every network is talking about driverless cars, this is going to be good, we might raise the point and look at some people that could be put out of work by it and say, well, will driverless cars put people out of work, or what are the economic factors? So we like to take different angles on it. We have a great research team that can say, well, here's the whole story, here's all the different angles on it, and then we can either call people out when they're not being honest, or call out inconsistencies, or get people to respond to things that makes news. Because if you're just asking people what they think, you're just letting them rant and go on. But if you hit them with, not that, well, you're a liar, or this isn't true, no, you just hit them with an opposing viewpoint and let them respond to that. And that's what we're racing towards until 11 o'clock. We'll do every guest, we put together a big research packet for, which our research team called the Brain Room is very integrated with, but that will usually be a biography of the guest, what their viewpoint is, research from a research arm, any related articles that go with it, and then it's any sound bites or any little bits or nuggets that we can turn into graphics, and then we send it off to Shannon and let her decide what she wants to use for each guest, and then when she comes back with that, then we'll either get those sound bites cut up, and then along with that, we'll write the intros for the guests, we'll write any little stories that we're covering, so it's a lot that goes into that, and then also we make all the graphics ourselves, all the little banners that you see on the screen, any of the little full screens if there's tweets, so that stuff all goes into it, and then by about 10 o'clock or so, we're going through the rundown, we're fact-checking things, and I'm going through. Usually my job is I'll go through and I'll check all those banners. So if there's any spelling errors sometimes, then it's something I didn't catch. But usually I try to keep a tight eye on all the little graphics on the show and make sure that they're looking good, they're understandable. So it's interesting when you watch the show and you see all the things on the screen, there's a good amount that goes into that stuff that might only be out there for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's really fast. I've been listening to Shannon Bream and also seeing her on TV and Fox News Radio. She's usually on the Brian Kilmeade show, which I listen to every day, and she is hilarious. She has a great sarcasm in her.
She has a little sass to her some days, and she's very witty. And the great thing about Shannon is what you see is what you get with her. She's just a very genuine, honest person. And one of her little secrets is during the breaks, I think what keeps her hyped up, she's a big fan of 80s music. And it's no hidden thing that every Friday night she does a dance party, but she will talk about it all week with her guests, including General Jack Keane. I don't want to give away too much, but he hasn't joined us for a dance party yet, but said he's a big fan of Neil Diamond. Favorite song, Sweet Caroline. Found some Neil Diamond for me. We'll come and dance some Neil Diamond for our dance party.
Yeah, she's very sweet. She's positive, and you know, she's one of my favorite reporters. I mean, I remember when she covered the Supreme Court. I think that was her her task for a while. So, Sean, if a student today wants to intern at Fox or wants to be in Fox, what is a good path for them to get there?
I always say start locally. If you have a local news station, go there. I think a lot of people think I want to go to college and just land right at Fox. I mean, it kind of sounds like what I did, but I'd also been doing it for a while beforehand at a local level. And I think there's a lot of places where just in this day and age of things being streamlined, people doing multiple jobs, if you go to a local outlet, you can learn so much there. So don't negate the fact that if you start lower, it's going to be worse. You're probably going to learn more there because at some local stations, you're going to shoot, you're going to edit, you're going to do all those things as a one-man band. So when you get to the network and you realize, oh, I have editors, I have all these other resources, it will be easier for you. Or you go into some local radio station, you can have more opportunities because in some ways, they're going to look at you and say, I want this one person to do the job of five people. And that's kind of the reality of the media landscape. There's stations that don't have the most money or the most resources, so they're going to try and get the most out of one person. Which means if you're the younger person, you're going to work crazy hours. But if you're willing to put up with that, it can pay off because I've been there. I've worked crazy hours and worked all kinds of shifts. And it's just having a good attitude more than anything. It's a business of divas and a business of people with personalities. If you show you're willing to learn, you show you have a good attitude and you can work with people, that will probably be the biggest thing that will take you far aside from just having a raw talent. If you have a drive and you're willing to learn, you're willing to work with people, you're willing to be humble sometimes and just do whatever job they give you, whether it's stacking the coffee in the place or making the coffee runs, it's getting in the door. But that, if you want to make that leap to the national level, take the knowledge of what you had, and then you still got to work your way up there. And there's several different ways. Usually the way into the networks is they have an assignment desk, and that can be grueling, but get in there and then work your way up. But also just keep an eye on any opportunity and get to know people. And know that it's a small industry, so if you're a jerk to someone 5 or 10 years ago somewhere, whether it's a local station or somewhere else, they could be the person that makes or breaks you. So, you know, when you don't like people, do your best to get along because you don't know when you're going to see them again.
Yeah, and like you were saying as well, you know, like, you have to know, like, skills. You have to know how to video edit now. You know how to write, how to shoot, and things like that. Now it's a little bit easier now than it was before. But I really do agree that you have to be multi-level skill and also work locally. I mean, there's plenty of local stations out there in your town or in another city. I mean, I've seen people that started off in Montana. Or they started off in Idaho in these small stations. Sean Hannity started in Alabama.
He did. That's the thing is, everyone kind of has their eye on, I want to get to Fox, I want to get to ABC, I want to get to wherever. But if you're willing, take a year or two of your life, go work for some local station, even if it's in Montana, it's not in the place you want to live. Spend some time there and realize that you might cover the most interesting stories of your career in local news. Because keep in mind, the stories that we like to use for those little funny stories, usually are the stories we comb through Florida Man or some weird story in Montana. Those are the stories that we love to feature some days because it's the local news that gets some of these hilarious stories. And now that you have the internet, get shared all the time.
Exactly. This is the segment of our show where we do where we ask our guests random questions. Ready?
Go for it.
Has a teacher ever changed your life? And if so, how?
Yes, I've probably had several teachers that have. Specifically at Liberty, I can think of Dr. Kelly, who's just a very wise man, but knew that I liked my perspective challenges. So he would always change my views or look at my writing or look at something and say, you're writing this just to be shocking, but what's your purpose in this? So he always kind of challenged my thinking. There were also some great high school teachers that I had too. I had one history teacher who really taught me to value history. He was very involved in Civil War reenactments and those kind of things. And he was a teacher that just had a lot of great sayings and would put them around the room. I don't recall any of them off the top of my head, but he was someone who just brought a passion. And then I could think of some of my elementary school teachers that were just fun, but also were challenging. I also just think there was a lot of my history teachers that I really enjoyed because I think I just always enjoyed a good story. That they were passionate about it. It was the history teachers I think that always had the biggest impact on me.
What's the best thing to have with cheese?
Best thing to have with cheese. I like brie and toast.
How do you have your steak?
Medium.
Do you know any magic tricks?
Maybe a random card trick, I think.
What would you name your yacht?
Ooh. I'd probably name it after my dad.
If you could.
So it'd be the SS Stevens.
Oh, okay. If you could, would you live in a hotel?
I'd get bored after a while. But I think the idea of people coming in and making my bed daily would not be such a bad thing.
Which grape is better, red or green?
Red.
And lastly, what is your favorite mustard?
Dijon.
Awesome. Well, Sean, thank you for coming on. What are your future plans?
You know, I love it here in D.C. It's a big, small town, but maybe someday might make it up to New York City. I feel like I'm working my way closer to my family in Massachusetts, so maybe the next stop could be working for Fox in New York, but I really love what I'm doing with Shannon, and I love D.C. Like I said, it's a big, small town. It's a crazy town. I don't know. I think I would be bored if I did anything else. If I ever stepped away from covering politics in this crazy city, especially after this current administration, anything else would seem kind of boring.
How often do you go to Fox News New York?
I've been up there a few times, and it's crazy because it is several floors, and it's this big tower there on Avenue of the Americas right across from Radio City. And there's a lot going on in there. Whereas our D.C. Bureau, you would be very surprised if you went there. It's one floor. We have one big studio, two big studios, where we do the Ingram, Engelanath, and Shannon show, and then several little studios where we put our reporters in and such, and two medium-sized newsrooms. So if you came there, you'd kind of be almost underwhelmed. Like, you produce all this stuff out here, and you do. It's a decent amount of people there, but it's certainly not the big mothership of Fox in New York, which would be fun, but I think you get lost in that. So that's what I like about D.C. is that it's a small enough bureau where most people that work there know each other, really have each other's back. There's so many people and a lot goes on in New York, so many studios, but I think it would go with that whole New York vibe where when I say D.C. being a big, small town, I like that feel. New York, I don't know if I'm ready for that animal yet.
How can people reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sean Langill, S-E-A-N-L-A-N-G-I-L-L-E. And I think most of my contacts on there, or you can send me that direct message, or you can find my email on there. That's probably one of the best ways to tweet me. I like to tweet.
And keep in mind, it's Sean Langill, and he is verified on Twitter.
You know, I worked hard for that blue check mark.
Sean, thank you very much for coming on the show. Any closing words?
Always live your dreams. And I think in the words of Jerry Falwell, always ask yourself, what could you do if you knew you couldn't fail?
Beautiful. Oh, by the way, what happened to the Patriots?
Oh, yeah, you know, there was a game and it didn't go their way. I think that's the best way to sum it up.
Okay.
There was a defensive game that didn't happen. I'll concede that.
Anyways, thank you very much, Sean Langill. Watch the 11 o'clock show, Fox News Live with Shannon Bream. It's produced by Sean Langill. It is the best show at 11. You can't, you know, don't go to SportsCenter. Go to Fox News.
And then go to SportsCenter.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Always a pleasure, Santiago.